But we'll do our best. Amen. How many have been learning? I know we got a lot of people out with mothers today. Isn't that a great thing? But those of you that have been following through with us in the message of faith, how many have learned and gained more insight together with me on walking by faith? I think one of the things that if you would turn with me to Hebrews 4, I'm not going to go where I said I would go last week. I feel like it's inappropriate for Mother's Day, so we will continue with that on Sunday. Those of you who chuckle know what I'm talking about, okay? So we're going to just move right along. But I want you to go with me to Hebrews 4 and look at a term. Now, those of you that have been around here understand I don't believe it's my angle. I think it's very clear in the Word of God, but what I believe about Hebrews. I do not believe that Hebrews is written solely to believers. On the contrary, I think it's written mostly to a general body of listeners, Jews, mixed among them, believers. He addresses believers in that book. He absolutely does. But most of the book is a lawyeristic pleading with the bulk of the hearers to go on over into Jesus. Simple question. If you're not in Jesus, are you saved? If he's pleading with you to persevere in faith and come to a place where your faith vacates the old and enters into a rest, which is Jesus, a rest of God, then are you born again yet if you're not in that rest? No, it's very clear. And so, but there still is a message for us. For example, Colossians chapter 2, Paul says, and we'll address this scripture a little later, time providing, he says that as you have received Christ, as you have therefore received Christ, I think is the wordage in the King James, so walk ye in him. How do we receive Christ? By grace through faith. So how do we live on a daily basis? We live by grace. Aren't you glad for grace every day that God's love and his favor towards us never changes? By grace through faith, that is how we live our lives every day. Hopefully you can quote Galatians chapter 2 verse 20, which says, I was crucified with Christ, nevertheless, come on, help me out. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. By whose faith? The faith of Jesus. I live by the faith of the Son of God. The rest of the verse says, who loved me and gave himself for me. How many are glad that Jesus loved us, loves us, and loved us when we didn't care or didn't even want to know? He still loved us, and now those of us who have responded. Okay, now here's the thing. Last week we spent quite a bit of time over the last several weeks, and I feel like brought it to a new level last week. How many of you now understand that faith is not an action? You hear it all the time. Faith is an action. Faith is not an action biblically. Faith is a response. If you didn't get that last week, hopefully you got it just now. Faith is a response. When faith becomes an action, it's you doing something to try to get God to do something else for you or somebody else. Faith is seeing who He is in His Word, what He has done, and it is responding to Him. This is why Jesus said in John chapter 15, verse 7, if you abide in me, and my word abides in you, ask what you will. That's radical. How many are here this morning? Ask what you will, and it shall be done. Now, so far, anybody who is new here, or anybody who is relatively new to the subject of faith, all of this could just sound like more preaching and talking in platitudes of super spirituality, whatever. Let me just stop just a moment. If you're a young couple in here, if you're a young single mother, if you're somebody who is new to all of this and you know deep in your heart of hearts that I'm drawn to church, I'm drawn to the things of God, I don't really understand it all, but I know in this, I've looked everywhere else, and it's left me empty. I need something real. And we find ourselves in a place like this. Let me just back up and remind you of a few things. I'm thinking today of Mother's Day. You have Mary, who here is this young, as far as we know, probably 16 years of age, this young woman who you can see in her testimony and in her worship was somebody who truly had a relationship with God. Her song of praise and thanksgiving, I'm not going to take the time to read it, but is absolutely beautiful. Last week, I believe it was, I referenced the wrong place where the angel is speaking to her and says, "You are blessed and highly favored." And do you remember I mentioned that there's only two places in all of Scripture where that word is found, and it means highly favored. It's found again in Ephesians 1, the Scripture that says that we are accepted in the Beloved. Two places, only two places where that particular verb is used. Mary, spoken of as highly favored and blessed of the Lord. How many are glad that because of Jesus, we now, because of what He's done, those that have entered in by faith into His love, now the Word of God speaks of us as children of God, blessed and highly favored. Are you here today? Say, "I'm blessed and highly favored of the Lord." Now, in this discourse from the angel, we see that the angel of God says to this young woman, who God is going to use supernaturally in the virgin birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, a lamb, the Lamb of God, Revelation says, slain before the foundation of the world, through which, by whom, salvation would come to all mankind. Now here's the deal. He says to her, "With God, all things are possible." Again in Matthew, "All things are possible to him that believeth." How many have enjoyed the discourse or talk that God requires one thing for the supernatural to happen, and that is believing. We've hit that over and over and over again. We know that even right living happens as a result of right believing. Most of the church and most of religion, you've heard me say it many times, and I'm going to say it again, it's about behavior modification. If I can get your behavior to change and get you to straighten up and walk the chalk, then God will accept you. That's religion. Doing what we can to get God to love us and to approve of us and accept us. How many are glad that that burden is no longer ours? That if we believe in Jesus, I don't care who you are, what you've done, where you've been, or even where you're at right now, if you will trust, put your faith and trust in Him and allow that supernatural work. We were reading this in the men's Bible study. There's only one, throughout Scripture, there's only one prerequisite to coming into the family of God, and it is this. Believe, John says, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Now that's not just a mental assent to a good idea. This is coming into relationship in which we really believe. He is the Son of God. Paul took it a little bit further and he said, if we confess with our mouths and believe in our heart that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. That's what separates Christianity, if you would, and I hate to even use the term because there's so much confusion, but a living relationship with God from all other religions is this. He's the only one. How many have ever heard of Josephus and the writings of a contemporary? Even he seemed to be overwhelmed by the historical fact that everything that was said that we read in the Bible, he was overwhelmed by the fact that there was nothing that could be disproved. Overwhelming. And you think of all of the apostles who died willingly, horrible, terrible deaths. Their lives were absolutely changed by this Jesus. How many are glad for Jesus? I'm so glad that He died for me, that He's given us now a name that is above every name that is named in heaven and in earth and under the earth, and that someday, Scripture says, every knee will bow and every tongue confess that He is Lord. How many want to confess me right now that He is Lord? Come on, right all over the room. Come on. He is Lord. Hallelujah. Now here's the deal. So, That may have sounded like more religious platitudes to a few ears. Let me bring it down where the rubber meets the road, so all things are possible. I have in here, and those of you that have been with us, you've heard these testimonies many times, but my daughter that led worship today had Hashimoto hypothyroidism. No medical intervention. Do you understand? A girl whose growth, hair falling out, a goiter developing, everything going backwards. Everything that you can think of. No children, on and on and on. I mean, the list is long. I don't want to take too much time. I've told the testimony many times. But that little girl standing up there is a miracle. With a new baby boy, together with her husband Bruce, who we love so much. She made me a grandpa. It's the only thing I have against her. So, how awesome. Little Malachi King. But here's the deal. She got a hold of truth. Not just a truth, but the truth of God's love through His Son. She got a hold of another truth. And that is that what He did on the cross, through His own shed blood and stripes borne on His back, she got a hold of a truth that God not only sent His Son to die for me and to pay the ransom for the sin of all mankind, but in that, something referred to as the atonement, in that sacrifice that He paid for each of us, also He provided healing and deliverance and peace and strength. Are you with me? And right on down the provision, everything is there according to Scripture. Isn't that beautiful? And she got a hold in particular of the message of healing. Now you can say what you want to, but the proof of the pudding's in the eating thereof. She's a walking, and we have a number in here, a walking, talking miracle as a result of getting a hold of the truth of Jesus. And let me tell you something, it did not happen overnight. She was diagnosed. We weren't even aware of what was going on. We knew something wasn't quite right. Other people had pointed out, as a young couple, we were defensive. This was our first baby girl. We were faith people. How dare you say anything about our little girl? I remember there were a couple people. We shot them right down. And the day came when the goiter was forming. So we have a physical mountain staring us in the face. How can this be? The first reaction, God, where are you? God, didn't we? So why is? All that we ran the gamut of. But somewhere along the line, how many know when the enemy comes in like a flood, God raises up a standard. And the word that had been put down on the inside of us, I watched my wife go from momentary seeming disillusion to a tiger. Just like she did when I was down. I heard her in the wee hours of the morning speaking the word of God. I heard her singing the word of God. She put me to shame, has all my life. You think I'm up here preaching, so I'm the one that must. Let me tell you who the faith, where the faith strength has been so many times in her home. Happy Mother's Day, baby. You can't hear me. She's over ministering to the kids. Okay? I'm not just bragging and lifting her up on an earthly basis. What I'm trying to do is encourage you that this isn't just for one. This is for anybody who will climb in. Here's the deal. She would speak the word of God. Rebecca, over the next, 6, 7 years? I'm trying to think about 7 years, I believe. Interesting. I never thought of that before. But came to a place where the Word of God, she stood, she was raised in the Word of God. She came to a place where she was in her second year of Bible school, I believe. Well, she came to Jackie and I, she said, Daddy, I've been reading the Word of God, I've heard it all my life, but it's becoming mine. And I believe that Jesus, by Jesus' stripes, I am healed. He showed me some areas of adjustment. And I've made those, and I want you to do communion. I want to commemorate, remember together. I want you and Dad, she told Jackie, I want you and Dad, let's share in the Lord's communion, and I'm going to believe God today that I am totally 100% healed. Amen. Well, she did that. We prayed together, she did that. She called me the next day or two later. I know I shared some of this before, but she let us know that she'd quit all of her medicine. Now, I do not recommend this. I'm telling you right now, I'm not telling you that faith is quitting your medicine. I think that's crazy if you're not being led of God. I think it's even a little crazy if you are being led of God. So you better be being led of the Lord. And let me tell you something. The enemy, you'll take something like this and try to test God and get yourself in trouble. Don't do somebody else's testimony. You be led of the Lord. Read. You hear me say it all the time. Set your table with promises. Worship and honor Him every day. Concentrate not on a formula, but on your relationship with Him. And He will help you step into His promises. This is the thing. So, at any rate, in her case, that's what she did. She chose to do that. This was 6 years, though. She didn't do this on a whim or overnight. She decided. I'll tell you what. She told me that. It scared me. It scared me. Because this is the same one as you heard me say several weeks ago that would call me, just one day of missing her pills, would call me in utter confusion, not know where she was at, what direction she was going in. It was a severe situation. You're going through something in your life today, I want you to know He is real. I also want you to know something else. He provided you with faith to respond to His goodness, and that faith is real. Say with me this morning, faith is real. Now, you can check with anybody that knows us. Somewhere in boxes packed away that have been there for years, we have the records, doctor records that show the undeniable proof of Hashimoto hypothyroidism. And the day that she walked off and believed God, something swept in. She's been checked several times. Just as, not because she was afraid, but I want to make sure so that I can tell people the testimony of God of what He has done. And that's the little girl taking care of, see right now with Malachi? Taking care of Malachi King Robertson. Isn't that awesome? Yeah. Healed. Amen. Are you here today? Yeah. What He'll do for one, He'll do for another. You're struggling as a young couple? Listen, I'm not even sure we were supposed to go to the mission field at the time. We just felt that we were supposed to. We were doing the best we could to be led of the Lord. The reason I say that is I want you to see the humanness of our situation. But we felt like we were supposed to go down and help Mom and Dad in Honduras. So we made a decision, and with only it wasn't very much money at all. It was less than $200. We got in a car, actually a borrowed car at that time, and headed out. And there were some connections that were made through my mom and dad. They were, at that time, had been 22 years on the mission field, have been. At that time, I don't remember how long they had been down there. But they said, look, if you guys are coming down, why don't you go ahead and make a circle? You can share with the churches so we don't have to make the trip. You can share with these churches what's going on in Honduras, help raise funds for Honduras. In the meantime, let people know what you're going to do. But when we stepped out, we didn't know what to do. We thought we had some things set up. We thought we had some things in order. And when it got down to the moment, we just said, you know what, Lord, we thank You. You're going to provide. I'm not kidding. Little Rebecca and Jackie and myself got in that borrowed vehicle and took off. At that time, I think we were headed for Michigan. We got about halfway out through, and we're getting low on money. We had enough money in gas probably to get to where we needed to go to the next thing. And we were young and dumb enough to not even think about that. But already we're convinced by that time that God, if He called, He was going to take care of business. Jackie, we stopped. This was before cell phones. This was before any of this stuff. We had to stop and get on a payphone. Something had happened, and she went to check our account. And they said, Mrs. Shaw, you have $700 in your account. She said, no, there's got to be a mistake. They said, no, there's not a mistake. Well, can you tell where it came from? This is the truth. Scott City, Kansas, we have no record, we have no idea, but you have $700 in your account. Jackie argued with them. Listen, if I spend this money, where did it come from? I have all of my records. It does not make any sense. Where is it? They also were able to back up the fact that it was non-existent when we left. All we know is you have, I'm not kidding. Now, don't go out and try to make that work for you. My point, don't be stupid. My point is, we heard from God, and in our innocence and in our youth said, God, we believe that You're speaking to us. Take care of us. Our heart is for You, and we stepped out in faith. Listen, Don't try to think about how it's going to work out. We didn't. We knew one way or the other. We were at ease. We were not panicked. We just knew. Maybe it was partially youth and just dumb and innocent, but hey, I'm thankful for young people who are a little impetuous will step out when some of us who are older and have been through a few hard knocks are a little reticent about stepping out. You're a quiet bunch this morning. You say, what's this got to do with Mother's Day? Nothing. I didn't say I was going to do a Mother's Day sermon. Happy Mother's Day. Learn to walk in faith. That's the best gift I can give you. So here we go. So here's the deal. My wife, another situation you've heard me share many times. My wife, I'm laying in a hospital. Compound fracture, femur bone through the inside. I'm not exaggerating. I know you've heard this so much, many of you, that it's easy to go. I want you to listen. The main artery and the main vein severed completely in two. They don't know why I'm alive. They're fighting to save my leg. Jackie, out of her mind, calls my dad on the mission field. He speaks with her, prays with her. In the middle of the night, she is awakened by a voice. Listen, people, all of you, no matter where you're at, say with me, He is real. And He's given us faith to respond to His goodness. For the just shall live by faith. So I hate religion. It gets it so turned upside down, puts everything back on you. I'm so glad for the new covenant. His yoke is easy, His burden is light. Aren't we glad for Jesus? Hallelujah. Turn to Psalms. I will come back to Hebrews. I haven't forgotten. But turn to Psalms. She hears a voice. This is my wife, the one that's teaching kids over here right now. She hears a voice. She can tell this much better than I. But a voice wakes her up. She's in a total state of confusion. At that time, she didn't know what was going to happen. They told her that my leg could reject the whole process. They had to harvest a vein out of my left leg, do a bunch of work in my right leg. By the way, I was told I'd never ride a horse again. I'd never sit in a car for more than 20 minutes, that I'd be on blood thinners for the rest of my life. I know some of you have heard this already, but I've got a point in saying this because we're going to stay on this journey of faith. How many are believing God that as we step a little higher and a little higher and a little higher and develop a culture of faith in His goodness, good things happen. Here's what Scripture says. These signs follow them that believe. We've gotten in trouble in the church. They're crazy people all over TV. Good men, good Christian men, good preachers, but it's crazy. I can't even watch Christian TV anymore. How about you? It's all about chasing signs and wonders. And if they're not happening, make them happen because we got to keep the show going and raise money. The Bible says signs follow those who believe. How many believe in Jesus? Not just in something, but in Him who is the author and the finisher of our faith. So I felt like this morning I need to just stop, slow down, because I hear the questions. Sometimes I want to make sure we're on the same page. So here's the deal. Psalms 41. She's awakened in the middle of the night. And she hears in her case. Now don't go praying, God, I want to hear you in an audible voice. Now, some of the most dramatic things in our life were not audible. It was just a knowing, a strong knowing that God was saying, this is the direction. When I moved out here to Arizona, I wish I had time to tell you the story. It was absolutely supernatural. The provision and the providing, everything. And it was nothing more than the desire that would not go away. And every time I'd move forward, it would increase. Psalms 37, 4 and 5 tell us, delight yourself in the Lord. I'm not demeaning myself, but listen, people, I'm just not that smart. I did not do well in school. I still hate math. Up here, I'm comfortable because I'm in my own church with a body of people that I know most of you. I don't have a trouble when I'd love to fill it up with vision. I'm not saying that. But you get me in a room with six or eight people that I don't know. I struggle as bad as you do, maybe more. You may not know this, but I'm not a crowd person. I am now, but in the natural. Are you with me? I don't know where I was going with that. The blank is just exactly what I'm talking about. I'm like, where was I at? Case in point. Huh? Psalms 37:4 says, thank you, says, delight yourself. One thing I know, though, is sooner or later, I'm going to have to quit being upset about this and quit moping about that and quit the other. I got to get my laugh back. I got to remember where He's brought me. Look around at how blessed I am. Get happy again and delight myself in the Lord. And here's what He says. Delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. That's pretty awesome stuff. My wife, in the middle of utter confusion, she hears a voice. And the reason I went into all that is don't try to be, you just delight yourself in the Lord. You've got your own story that will be played out. Hebrews 11, called the Hall of Faith, tells the story of many. And I said it last week and I'll say it again, doesn't mention one sin or one failure. And it was full of them. But He mentions their faith in God and honors them. In this book we call the Bible, in what theologians refer to as the Hall of Faith, Hebrews chapter 11. How many know believing in who He is makes all the difference? So, our story. She is sleeping and she hears a voice. I'm laying in the hospital in serious trouble. Code blue on the three times on the way to the hospital. She awakens with a voice saying to her, Psalms 41. She searched the Bible. She was in a strange house. Somebody had, she'd gotten so confused in the delirium of the wreck and everything, one of the elders from the church we were attending at the time happened to see the car, pulled her over, realized she didn't even know what she was doing or where she was going, said, just follow me. And he took her to a pastor's house, and they put her on the couch where she slept. And she was awakened, and she heard a voice say, Psalms 41. Listen to me. Out of the unseen, out of the unseen, out of the unknown, an answer came. I don't care who you are. He loves you. He's got a plan for your life. Religion has said, if you, then He will. That's not the way it works. Just receive His love. Put your faith in His goodness, in who Jesus is. Believe that He is who He said He was, and let God take care of the rest. Religion has it wrong. Jesus is the author of this great gospel, and it's simple enough for a child, or it would not be the gospel. Did you hear what I just said? It's simple enough for a child. I was 4 years old. I still remember. Leland, what's the matter? I don't remember the exact way. My mother would remember better than me. But thank God for a mom who was sensitive at 4 years of age. I said, I was feeling that. And I didn't know. When she said to me, would you like to receive Jesus in your heart? I said, yes. I still have pictures of that. She says she was ironing, and I was running around the ironing board and looked troubled. And she kept asking me, what's wrong? And I couldn't tell her. And when she said, do you want to receive Jesus? My little spirit said, yes. I'm very glad for Jesus. It's not complicated. Okay, now here's the deal. A voice in the middle of the night awakens my wife. says Psalms 40. She runs through the house looking for a Bible. She pulls out a Bible, goes to Psalms 41, and this is what she reads. Now understand, we'd spent several years on the mission field, so the Lord knew where she was at and what she needed to take place in her heart. It says this, "Blessed is he that considers the poor." The Lord will deliver him, Dad. Hallelujah. In time of trouble. She said the words just went boom off the page. God, the unseen realm, delivered a word that wasn't just an encouraging word, but turned a seemingly, not seemingly, you can look in my doctor report, an impossible situation around. Blessed is he that considers the poor, for the Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. Verse 2, the Lord will preserve him and keep him alive, and he shall be blessed upon the earth, and thou wilt not deliver him unto the will of his enemies. How many have figured out we have some enemies in life, both seen and unseen? Paul put it this way, we wrestle not only. There's a wrestling over here, yes. But Paul's saying, look, we got that. You can see and feel and touch and taste and hear that. But I'm telling you that the real source of the struggle, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, Ephesians 6, but against principalities and powers, rulers of darkness, wickedness in high places. This is what he says is our enemy. How do we deal with that? We stand in the knowledge of the truth of Jesus. Read it. It's not about, I heard somebody saying the other day, you know, every day when you get up, you need to put your armor on. And he said, I sit down on my, and I put my armor. Well, that's okay if that works for you, but my goodness, that's not what that scripture is saying. He is talking about, he's using a military example of bathe yourself in the knowledge of Jesus Christ and a gospel that is simple enough for a child to understand. Beautiful stuff. I'm glad for Jesus today. Okay, so here we go. She hears a voice. Now here's the thing. Out of the unseen, a word was spoken. Deliverance was delivered. My wife says that she felt, in her mind, what she knows, an unseen but physical gown that touched her head and settled down over her body. They weren't supposed to release me for 2 years. Severity of the break and all of the vascular surgery they did. Over 300 stitches inside before they sewed me up. You'll never be on a horse again, Mr. Shaw. You need to get used to it. You'll be, I mean, on and on and on. Thank God I've been years since then horseback. Here's the deal. As a result of that word, she felt something like a cloak that physically settled down over her body. And she said, when it settled into place, she said, I had a faith that was explosive. She said, I felt like Superwoman. I remember laying in the hospital, upset at God, mad at the world. How could this happen? We served on the mission field. Honey, the Lord told me, I'm not in faith at all. I'm like some of you. So don't feel bad. What in the world's going on? What happened? But the Lord, it's so important to get hooked up with somebody that knows the truth. Doesn't have to be your wife. Thank God, that's the ultimate goal. Have a spouse that can believe God with you. But listen, some of you men, you can find another brother in the Lord who's strong in faith and stand together and agree together. Something's been lost in the church. We can find somebody to stand. Obviously, the best thing in my case was my spouse was standing. She stood on the Word of God. But you don't have to wait for a spouse. Find somebody you can agree with in the Word of God and watch what God does. Now, here's the thing. She would take, when I was doing this stuff, she would take her Bible, my own Bible, actually, and throw it on my chest and said, you will believe that. God has spoken to me and you will be as if nothing ever happened. She would put scripture verses in a cassette. Robin, you'll love this. In a cassette player, cassette, that dates me, up on the side of the hospital bed. And I would try to turn it off. I was upset. So what did she do? She walked in with a big smile. How are you doing? Whatever. She noticed that it was off. Pushed it a little further out of my way and pushed it back on. The Word of God, Roland. Brother Ingalls, Roland. Visits from people, stirring and encouraging. How we need one another. My point in telling that story is, out of the unseen, an answer was delivered because of believing. And the beauty of this picture that I've drawn for you is when one is weak, we need one another. Another can be strong. You ever notice how that works? Beautiful thing. Faith. I want you to look at Hebrews 4, back where we started, and I'm going to try to tie this together because I really am going to turn you loose at 11:30 whether I'm done or not. So it may be abrupt and it may not make any sense, but I promise myself it's Mother's Day, 11:30 on the dot, we're out of here. Prayer team's coming up, worship team's coming up. I don't care if I'm mid-sentence, we're done, we're gone. Are you with me? So you can go and enjoy Mama. Amen. Does that work? Okay, so here we are. Look at Hebrews 4. Have you received anything so far? I don't want to just tell stories, but I want to tie the subject to real life. Some of you need to realize that life without God really does stink. Amen. And many people, as I talked about extensively last week, because of religion and teaching that has strayed from the Bible, now project what they believe about God onto God and are responding and reacting to a God that doesn't exist. Look in the Word of God for who He is in Jesus. So here's the deal. Look at Hebrews 4. I got to get there with you myself. My objective in this is to help some people move into faith, obviously. The Bible says the just, the righteous. How many are righteous by faith today? Because you put your faith in Jesus. Hallelujah. How many are growing? Amen in that. So here's the deal. So to help some people move into, dare to believe God for the impossible. A second group that's on my mind and on my heart a lot is to help people that operate in what I refer to as frantic faith. Kind of a misnomer because I don't believe that's possible, but many people that are caught already, whether it's a physical situation, a financial situation, a relational situation, or just a general fear or lack of knowledge, and it's a frantic faith. You're trying so hard to make something happen. Oh, okay, so if I confess the Word of God, and so we grab a hold of that and we're confessing and we're confessing and we're confessing and we're confessing. How many know that speaking the Word of God biblically is what the Bible calls confession? Confession comes from the word homologio in the Greek, which means to say the same thing as. Most of confession, in fact, all but one site, has to do with confessing what God says about us. Only one is a reference to sin, 1 John 1:9, for one who comes to God. Okay? So there's nothing wrong with confession, but when we turn a truth into a formula, it just becomes another religious activity that gets us nowhere. Frantic faith, where we desperately need something, we desperately need to get somewhere, and we're struggling. I want to, in Jesus' name, help our body rise above this. Hebrews 4 speaks of a rest. The writer of Hebrews, by the Holy Spirit, is speaking to us, I believe today. And he's saying there is a rest that remains for the people of God. And then he says something interesting. He says, labor, therefore, that you enter into that rest. Now remember who he's speaking to. They're struggling with salvation through Jesus alone. But there still are truths here that apply to us. In fact, Hebrews 4, he breaks away and speaks to believers. You can tell by the change in the conversation. He speaks of they who still oppose and we who have believed. And he talks about the rest and he compares it to God who worked for 6 days and then he rested. There is a place where we enter in to Jesus and enter into a walk of faith. And listen, the walk of faith should not be a frantic, difficult, high wall. There is a place of rest found in faith. There is a place of rest where we cease being frantic and we have a knowledge that what he has said is true. Regardless of what we're looking at. Brother Walmart gave an example of a lady who went forward to be prayed for. She had a huge goiter. True story. Happened publicly. Okay? Had a huge goiter. She went forward, prayed the prayer of faith, knew in her heart that God had touched her and healed her. All of her issues that she had with the goiter ceased, but the goiter was still there. She went like that, I believe, for months, maybe a year. I don't remember the exact story, but she went for a long time, and she would stand up and talk about how that God had healed her of her condition completely. No more problem with a goiter. And people would look at her like she was nuts. Finally, one day she said, "Lord, I know that you've healed me completely. I know what you've done on my body." But she said, "I need you to remove this so that people will see and know." Do you know that within hours that thing disappeared? True story, in public, before many witnesses. The reason I told you that was to tell you this. That little lady was not shaken at all by what she was seeing. That's like the opposite of most of what we hear. She knew that she knew. It didn't matter to her. She felt better. She was strong. God had healed her, and she was proclaiming it with boldness. She wasn't embarrassed. Boy, that's a big deal right there. She wasn't ashamed. She wasn't worried about explaining it, you know, why it looked like it. Nothing. She knew in her heart. That's amazing. Am I there yet? I'm headed there as fast as I can pedal. But I'm with most of you. That's a challenge to my faith. That's a challenge to my pride. It's a challenge to a lot of the areas that I'm growing in. But it still shows us the picture that all things are possible to him that believeth. The beauty of grace is, in the meantime, while we're learning, God loves us. He helps us. He strengthens us. He helps us in our weaknesses. He strengthens us right where we're at. But if we will dare to see who he is and what he's done and take by faith what he has promised, what a difference that makes. There is a rest. I want you to look at Hebrews before we... I'm going to try to get through this. If not, like I said, 11:30 on the dot, we're out of here. All right, you guys doing okay? I know for some of you, some of this is repetition, but I think personally, I think it's good and important and necessary. Say with me one more time, faith is real. We need to understand. This is how we communicate with God. Here's the deal. Romans 12:3 states that to every man is given the measure of faith. Paul says that we live by the faith of Jesus. He also says in Colossians chapter 2 that as we received Christ, so also should we walk in him. We received by grace through faith salvation, and we live everything we need, every promise given. Now here's the deal. Hebrews 11:1. Would you look at Hebrews 11:1 with me? And here's what it says. Now faith is the substance. Before we go, I want to hit you with a zinger, give you something to think about this week. Because I believe that God wants to take us to a new level of walking in the supernatural. Come on, people. Are you here today? I just told you stories, and it's amazing. Listen, we have to be careful about letting our hearts become hardened. Do you know that Jesus spoke to the disciples and he makes a reference to their hearts being hardened because they did not consider the miracle of the loaves and fishes? They were there and saw it. And we can get so used to hearing and seeing. We can hear dramatic stories, and yet something just lulls us into a place. I want to challenge you today. The just, are you here today? The just live by faith. I'll never forget a kid having a horse in Florida on a big ranch I was working on, flip in the middle of a stampede, flip over, roll over his body. When I got to him, he was convulsing, foam coming out of his mouth. This is me. His hips were all contorted in every direction. His legs did not look right. The kid didn't even, he was a wreck. Foul mouth, whatever. I walked up, I tried to get his attention, and I laid my hands on him, and I began to pray in the Holy Ghost and command death to leave. I didn't know what to do. I was the first one to him. When I opened my eyes up, I was praying in the Spirit, and there were five other cowboys in a circle around me, and they weren't looking at him. They were all looking at me. What is going on? He was air vac'd out of there in critical condition, released 10 minutes after he got there, an utter state of confusion in the emergency room. They were looking at why they air vac'd him, and the kid stood up on his own strength and walked out. I can't say that's happened every time. What I'm saying is, as we grow and as we dare to trust God, all things are possible. Where is your faith? What are you ascribing to? This thing of living for God, the just shall live by faith. Hebrews 11 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is, everybody say it with me, substance. Say it one more time, substance. Faith is substance. This is saying that faith is real. It is the evidence of things not seen. Notice it didn't say things that don't exist. It didn't say, now faith is the evidence of things that don't exist. That's not what the Word of God says. It says that faith is the evidence of things not seen. They do exist, they just aren't seen. In the natural world, we've come to realize that there are things that do exist that we can't see. Think about gravity for a moment. How many are glad for gravity? You're not bumping your head off the ceiling because of gravity. Gravity. Listen to this. You've heard me say it many times, but listen to what, I hope I've got it in here still. See if I can find it. Where did it go? Now I'm using my time looking for it. Where's it at? Here we go. Where are you? That would be presumption, but we'll get into that later. come on. I know I have this in here. Oh, here it is. You were right. What is gravity? This was asked by a student of a NASA official scientist, Phil Newman. He said, what is gravity? Can you tell us what gravity is? Here's what he said. We don't really know. Of everything that we think we know, one of the most basic things that we take for granted every day, unseen. You can't touch it, you can't feel it, you can't taste it. It just is. And they still, with all of their knowledge, have no clue what gravity is. Gravity is a force of attraction that exists between any two masses. And they can describe it just like psychologists. They can label everything, take you all apart and label it. But most of them are clueless. I know a few Christian psychologists who can understand human behavior, and once they help you see what's going on, they can point you to Jesus and say, Jesus is the answer to these situations if you'll trust Him. But most of them label you, and then you have to cope. However that may be. Okay, here we go. 2 minutes, 2.5 minutes. Okay, here we go. Now, I'm looking at that clock. If you're looking at your watch, I don't know what your watch is. I'm looking at that clock. All right, just dawned on me. That may not be at all what you're looking at. So, my 11:30 is right there. Okay, so here's the deal. Okay. It is an attraction that exists between all objects everywhere in the universe. Sir Isaac Newton discovered that a force is required to change the speed or direction of movement of an object. He also realized that the force called gravity must make an apple fall from a tree, or humans and animals live on the surface of our spinning planet, on and on and on, describing. But the bottom line is, when the girl asked the question, he said, "We have no clue." We believe in things we don't see all the time. Are you aware that right now that images and words are flying past your head? If you don't believe me, we can take a TV, set it down, turn the receiver on, and suddenly the unseen appears on a screen in living form. Are you here today? I don't have time. We'll have to go there next week. But there's a story in the Old Testament of Elijah. He prays that a young man with him, eyes would be open as they're facing an enemy, to see that in the unseen realm there are, it may look impossible, it may look like everything's to an end, it may look like the enemy is winning, but when their eyes were open, his declaration was, "There are many more with us than be with them." Faith helps us see what God already knows in the spirit realm and to receive into our life right now victory because of Jesus. 30 seconds. Do you want to count down? How many received something this morning? The just shall live by faith. How many love Jesus today? How many are glad that He gave us faith to live victorious? Say with me, faith is real. Hallelujah. Father, thank You for Your people today. Thank You that we don't live just after the seen and what can be felt and touched and tasted and heard, experienced through the sensory, but we believe in, as Colossians says, the invisible God who has manifested Himself through Jesus the Son. Father, I thank You today as we've continued to proclaim each week Your supernatural working in our midst, in bodies, in business, in relationships. Come on, people, are you here today? Amen. In all, You are good. We declare that You are Lord of all. We give You permission by faith to work in our lives. In Jesus' name. And if you believe that, shout amen, amen and amen. We've been given a name that is above every name, people. Speak that name as we continue on our journey of faith in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen one more time. Hallelujah. Are you ready to go bless your moms? Huh?
Yeah.
Have a good day in Jesus. Be dismissed right now in the presence of God as we stand. We'll finish with this worship. Feel free to go ahead and go. Worship, our prayer team is here. Don't leave.